This is Steve the Don Donadio, and you are listening to Everyone Needs a Spotter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Everyone Needs a Spotter, the multifamily fitness podcast brought to you by the expert team here at RMS Fitness. I am super stoked and happy to be here today, guys. This is the inaugural first recording of the 2025 podcast season. I am Steve Heitzer. Excuse me, I have not introduced you yet, so you will remain silent until introduced. In fact, you're getting introduced last.
Aww.
I am your host, as always, Steve Heitzer, proud to be here today by my full team of overly eager podcasting companions. Directly across the table from me today, you know her, you love her, Emily, little wipey.
What's going on? It's been a long time.
It has been a little bit of a long time for sure.
What's up with that?
I don't know, but we're happy to be back. It's been a little bit of a long break over the holidays. I am joined. He's here. He's solemn and stoic and ready to impart wisdom to us. Fearless leader, Robert Decker.
Steve,
how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
You sound so cheery. And now I guess we can bring him in since he's here, and he's so excited to let everyone know that he was here with us. To my left immediately, Steven. It's 2025, and he's still alive. Donadio, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Yeah, it's good to be here. Nice way to kickstart the year with a podcast. Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
We had to really pencil this in since he's never here on a Friday.
I know.
Oh, whatever.
I know. Like, only occurs on a bicentennial now. But definitely happy to be here with everybody today. It's nice to be back together. Our last attempt at a podcast event of any sort was when we did our live podcast back before the end of the year. Thank you to everyone that has taken an opportunity to join in and listen to that. I was looking at some of the stats from that podcast, and it's actually still getting watches and views pretty much every day since we've posted it.
Awesome.
So even though it was a live event, happy to see that people were still finding their way back to that content. And if you haven't already had a chance to check that out, you can go on over to our LinkedIn page at rmsfitness.com, check under events, and you'll see our live podcast episode where we discussed getting your gym winter ready. But, you know, the subject of getting the gym winter ready sort of was the inspiration for what we're going to talk about a little bit today. It was one of the things we talked about, and we just want to expand upon that one point a little bit more. But before we do, as is our custom, we're going to ask about the week in review. Steven, how was your week? Anything exciting, noteworthy, or interesting to share with the listeners?
Man, yeah, it was an eventful weekend. Saturday, somebody got married.
A staff member.
That was a long day.
Ben.
So for any of our listeners that have had
a
privilege to meet Ben in the field, he is now married.
He's a married man.
Yep.
And off to his future.
He's off on an adventure.
So we will wish him and Jade all the best in their new marriage. That's amazing. It's always exciting to have a team member like have a step like that. But yeah, I forgot you did that this week.
Yeah, so Saturday was pretty much booked and cooked. That was a long day. It was good, though. And Sunday was another long day, just full of meetings. And then I went home and went to sleep and looked forward to Monday at that point.
Man, guys, most productive man. Constantly working, constant meetings. Robert D., what it be, man? How was your week?
Well, Steve, you could almost say it was a carbon copy of Mr. Donadio, except I gave that talk.
Yeah.
Right? So I had the privilege of giving Ben's marriage talk, so that was very memorable and will continue to be in the memory banks. And then, of course, Monday we had the snow. Lord knows I love snow. When you're trying to run a service business, the logistics are just amazing, and that we just shut it down. So after shutting it down for that day, then everything else gets backed up, and then my workflow continues to get more and more stressful. But you being here, Steve, you relieve a lot of my stress just by listening to me go on and on about the stress.
The weather events are always interesting because we do conduct a service business. We cover a large area, a lot of time on the road, and it's important to be safe. You know, when you're sending people out in cars onto traveling on highways and things on bad weather days, we want to make sure everybody gets home to their families. That's obviously the most important part of what we're doing here. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a challenging week with the weather and things like that. But, yeah, as Robert mentioned, it was kind of special. So whether you're looking to get your treadmill fixed or get married, Robert is your guy. So just feel free to check on in.
One-stop shop.
Anytime. No, but Lil Wipey, how about you? Anything interesting this week? If you repeat what they said, you're in trouble.
No, I mean, no, nothing really exciting. It's been – I worked from home, obviously, because of the weather on Monday, and then it's just kind of been, you know, just a normal week here. Looking forward to just relaxing this weekend. Tomorrow I'm trying something new with Steven and his wife, Deidre. We're going to go to this line dancing 4-hour course.
It's on.
So I'm really, this year what I'm trying to do is just be more open-minded with just saying yes to new things. So that's my first thing. So I'm going to go for it. So we're going to
see. I've seen that movie.
I know. Bob.
please don't do everything that was in that movie.
Bob.
Line dancing.
So we're going to try that. But I will say that, you know, something really cool did happen. I lost something that was really precious to me that wasn't replaceable. I won't go into it too much in the mail. And it's been an issue for weeks. And it, like I said, it wasn't replaceable. And yesterday, while I'm sitting here at the office, I get a call from a good Samaritan who had my lost piece of mail, and I was able to retrieve it from them last night, and I just was reminded that there are good people in this world.
Oh, man.
Faith in humanity.
You know what? We're just going to end the podcast there, guys. You know what? Have a nice weekend. Everyone feel good because Emily's story was so touching. No, but you know what? That's really nice, though. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people are just so busy that even if they might not, because they were mean, might not do not help you, but most people would just be too busy to be bothered. Yeah. And they would just be like,
yeah.
So it's cool that that person took the time to track you down like that. Really, really cool about that. So speaking of taking the time to do things, guys, that's what we want to talk about today. We talked on our live podcast episode about being winter ready and how one of the main things that a site team can do to be proactive, stay ahead of the demand and the time and all the extra use and things that's going to be put on the machines there in the gym is by taking opportunities to do some site visits, site walks, safety inspections of that space by the site team. That sounds great, right? You know, something you should do. It does occur to me, though, that you can really only do that type of visit if you have at least a basic idea of what it is that you're supposed to be looking for and how you might go about checking the basics of a machine to make sure that it's safe for your residents to use. So I thought that might be a cool subject to kind of discuss, right? Because you know, we talk about a lot about different things, and, you know, we get a lot of service call requests. Steven, as somebody who spent a lot of years receiving service call requests, having to figure out exactly what might be the issue that somebody's experiencing, what would be the benefit of customers just knowing a little bit more of the basics of, you know, safety functions of a machine and things like that when it comes to, like, a machine not working and then getting it back up and working?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the first thing that comes to mind is the safety factor of it, because there are some things that the property managers or maintenance managers can do while on site on a weekly basis. Just simple, quick checks for safety, like, you know, and we'll dig deep on this, but there's, you know, you're protecting yourself in terms of litigation and safety issues in the fitness center. But then you're also helping yourself in terms of longevity of equipment and also downtime of equipment. So there's a lot of beneficial factors.
Yeah, and a little bit of a basic understanding of how the machines work could help you. Yep. You know, if something isn't working correctly in your space, well, now you at least have a little bit of a basic, you know, starting point of knowing what the issue might be. It could be something that is just a setting issue or a user error, or it could be a real problem. So we thought it might be helpful to kind of maybe just go over a couple of things that would be useful things to know and look for. That way your site team, if they are going to go through that, you know, the trouble of walking into the gym to do an inspection, to have some things to look for. So, you know, obviously one of the more common pieces of equipment that we see in most of these spaces, probably the thing that we receive the most requests for service and reports of issues on is treadmills, right? They're probably the most popular piece of equipment in the gym in most cases. So, Robert, with all your many years of experience.
Yes, sir.
And I think you were the person that taught me how to do this myself years ago when I first started doing service myself on the fitness equipment. So what would be like maybe a couple quick pointers, quick things really important items to check. If you were a site team member and you wanted to go in and make sure your treadmill was ready to go, didn't need to get a call or a visit from your service partner, what might be some things you would recommend them to just look at?
Well, before we started this episode, I told you that our buddy Dan took the time to post something on LinkedIn about a safety key. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I will walk into a fitness center and the first thing I see is I see a safety key wrapped around the heart rate bar. Of course, that's not what it's meant to be. It's not meant to be wrapped around the bar. So the first things you want to do is unwrap that so the user can clip it to their safety belt or belt, to their belt or to their clothes, because that's what they want to do in case they are using the treadmill. They're supposed to have that clip to themselves so it will disengage the treadmill if necessary. So you make sure that's a good, you know, it's a simple thing, but if that clip is broken, then it's useless. So mm-hmm. you check to see if make sure it's not broken. Next thing you do
so
is
you want to make sure it's intact and you want to make sure it's accessible.
Exactly.
Not inconvenient to use.
Right. Exactly. And once you know that it can be used properly, then you make sure that it actually functions. So you turn the unit on, you make sure it stops. Number one safety thing to make sure that any resident that gets on the treadmill has the ability and the machine has the functionality that once you pull that key that it will stop. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it has happened. Now, as rare as it is, there have been safety keys out there that don't respond when you pull them. And that can cause an issue. And then I guess Steven could go on and on about this, but if you wrap on certain machines, if you wrap that safety strap or key, has a long cord to it, if you wrap that too tight, that can also malfunction. Person will be walking on it and the machine will stop because it's wrapped on there, so that vibration will pull the stop key without the user knowing.
Like it was already put under tension.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it needs to be unwrapped, needs to be clipped onto the user, and it needs to operate. That might take an on-site person maybe 2 minutes, a machine, but it's something that right from the jump they know it's safely operating.
Yeah, that's a great starting point, right? Safety key, probably one of the most important things that, you know, A, if it's not there, your unit probably won't work. So that's, you know, going to let you know right away that you have an issue. But you definitely want to make sure that it's there, that it's working properly, that it's, again, it can be used, because in the event that there is an accident, ideally somebody would be wearing the safety clip. But if they aren't wearing the safety clip, you want it to be at least because the resident made the choice and decision not to wear it and not because they didn't have the ability to wear it. Mm-hmm. That's just a liability and a, you know, clean conscience kind of, you know, standpoint thing that you want to obviously have in your favor. But maybe, like, talk about, too, like, a couple basic functions that are really important on a treadmill, like, you know, speed up, speed down, right? So, Steven, maybe would you think it would be beneficial for a site team to maybe go in, start the treadmills, and make sure that the speed up and speed down buttons are working properly? Because if maybe one of them's working and the other one isn't, what could be the outcome?
Yeah, so a lot, that's a good question. That's a quick check. You know, you hit start, hit all the buttons, the speed up, speed down. If one button is not working and all the other buttons do work, then you potentially have like a button issue, mm-hmm. and that's a simple fix. You know, you can send a picture of the serial number to the site team, to us. We can order the needed parts and check warranty and, you know, help prevent downtime and enable the ability of fixing the unit the first time a tech is out.
Yep.
And I think that's huge. That's a huge thing. The other thing, too, is, like, if you're hitting buttons and you're getting feedback from the console, like a little noise as soon as you hit it, but nothing happens, you know, that could be another issue. It might not be button issues. It could be something else.
Yeah.
But at least you're finding, at least the on-site people from the management side is finding an issue that could be addressed faster instead of having a tenant complain about it.
Or worse, right? Like, I mean, if a resident jumped on the treadmill and, you know, threw it up to, you know, 10, 12 miles an hour because they wanted to see how fast they could run, but maybe the down speed button mm-hmm. isn't working, and now they're running really fast, they're uncomfortable, they're out of their comfort zone, and they're panicking because they can't get the thing to turn down, you could have a serious injury or accident too. So again, like taking the time to go in and check. So again, these are basic things. You're going to walk into the gym, you're going to look at the treadmill, you're going to look at the condition of the safety clip, you're going to maybe fire up the unit. Make sure that the most important features are working, the speed up, the speed down. Make sure that the buttons and controls for those things are working, because you don't want to have a situation where, A, the units aren't working and people can't enjoy the equipment. B, it could lead to a safety issue. And C, to Steven's point, if you identify an issue, you can get it resolved before you get a complaint from an unhappy resident. That's all going to be, you know, beneficial things. Another thing that comes to mind that your site team can be aware of when coming in and inspecting the gym would be maybe what's going on behind the treadmills, right? There's some things in the gym that aren't stationary that can get moved around. So, Emily.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, go into that then.
Well, you know, people like to move dumbbells or even weight plates or other things to a more open area, and a lot of times that open area is behind the treadmills just because that's where you need to walk through and things like that. But what happens is people will leave those items there after doing some sort of a workout, and it's really important for that whole area to be cleared out, because if someone does, for whatever reason, fall off a treadmill, they could trip over something. It could be more catastrophic if they fall on.
Yeah.
On something.
Yeah.
Somebody, I mean, they could even, it could even be a bench that's been moved over there. But yeah, the point is to clear out that area completely.
Yeah. A lot of those benches have little transport wheels on them. They can just be picked up and moved around like a wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon for somebody to move one to a more open space. Emily, you made the point that typically the area behind the treadmills is open, but it's open because of a safety element of mm-hmm. making sure that if somebody falls, that there's clear space so that they can just be gently laid on the floor versus thrown into another machine or hitting a bench or landing on a dumbbell that somebody mm-hmm. left back there. And that could all lead to, again, more serious injuries. So these are, again, just things that should just kind of jump out off the page at your site team when you walk in the gym. If you walk in and you see something that placed right behind your treadmills, site team needs to be able to know that that's an issue, a safety concern, and address it. So I thought that was nice. Probably also the condition of the belt, right, Robert? You know, visually, you just want to walk in and make sure that you're not seeing any visual signs of damage or fraying, because that's an indication that what, more than likely, if it hasn't already gone all the way.
He likes to answer it all the way through. I love the way he leads me to where.
You just stare into my soul, and I don't know. Answer the question.
Well, I do. I want to apologize to the listeners. I do have a cold that I am overcoming. Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome.
So the point being is a lot of these visual checks that Steve's mentioning, like the belt, you can tell like a seam on a belt will start to tear. That's a good indication. But also, and maybe we've already come down this road a couple times, but this time of year there are things on people's shoes like the salt from the outside that get on the belt, which means more than likely they're getting under the belt, so you need to make sure under the belt is cleaned. So things like that are coming up because the use in the room, like we talked about a month ago, is going to start spiking between now and, wow, I don't know if it's been this cold for a long time in this area, but
people aren't going outside anytime soon.
No, I mean, when you're in single digits like this, the fitness centers, the gyms, they're all getting max use. And if the on-site team doesn't get ahead of the curve in this instance, they will start to see these machines decline. In fact, a couple of calls we got this week about equipment down, a lot of preventable things. Mm-hmm. Emily could speak to this. I hear the voicemails all the time. Hey, we forgot about our maintenance contract. Sorry it's lapsed so long. Did they really forget, or they just got a bunch of service calls, Emily?
Yeah, a lot of times it's a matter of needing service, so now they're reaching back out. And, I mean, we're glad to hear from them, of course, but it's just interesting how the maintenance isn't really realized as being so important as it is.
Yeah, that's what we talk about. That's kind of our theme recently has been talking about the need to be proactive and not reactive. Mm-hmm. So much harder. I mean, there's downtime involved in even the most efficient repair. You know, just the time it takes to go out, figure out the extent of the issue, the source of it, properly diagnose it, quote it, get that information sent to the customer, returned, approved, the part brought in. There's so much involved in that even if it's carried out well, it's a long process. So these, you know, waiting until you have several items in your gym that are just not working and upset residents, and then now you're under all this pressure by them to get it fixed. It doesn't need to be like that. And I think a lot of people would be shocked, honestly, if they shopped routine maintenance services for their gym, that it should not be hard to fit that into your budget for your property. It's not something that we charge an exorbitant amount of money for. We believe in the value of it that it provides to us and the customer. So check it out with us if you haven't already done so. It could really be beneficial. So we're trying to keep this one not too long today. So moving on from treadmills, let's talk a little bit about another common piece of equipment in the gyms really quickly. Bikes, whether they be upright, recumbent, or spin, they have a lot of the similar things that you would want to look for from a safety standpoint. Stephen, quickly run down a couple of things that you might look for on a bike if you were trying to make sure it was, you know, safe.
Yeah, I think not a whole lot more involved. It's not a ton of safety issues and when you think of a treadmill versus a bike, but there are still some things to look for. I think one of the most obvious things, it could be, you know, is the unit level. Does it, you know, shake when you're using it? Could it be a leveling issue? And the same concepts apply with in terms of like the console. Do the buttons, some of the buttons work? Mm-hmm. And you know, you also have pedal straps. Are the pedal straps broken? Could a picture be taken of the pedal straps that are broken and sent to the support team to order ahead of time? You know, those are some of the things that people can look for in like a recumbent or an upright bike.
Yeah, because people will continue to try to use those bikes even if those pedal straps are missing. The quality and the integrity of the pedals themselves, too, is usually something that can be just either sometimes visually seen. A lot of times you can look at a bike if the pedals aren't or the crank arm isn't tight. You'll see it kind of sitting a little funny. It doesn't look quite right, you know. So that can be a visual indicator that something's not right. You don't want to wait until somebody's on your spin bike at a really high cadence, you know, doing a higher intensity class and have one of the pedals fly off. And then that thing's just free spinning around, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. that's how spin bikes work. You would like to identify those issues ahead of time. So visually inspecting or physically even maybe, you know, manipulating the pedal a little bit to make sure that it's, you know, secure is a really good idea from a bike. And then like your adjustments for your handlebars and your seats and things like that. Again, a lot of times on these bikes, you're getting up on the handlebars, you're getting up out of the seat a little bit. You don't want to find out that the handlebar adjustment's faulty. Mm-hmm. In that moment in time, you want to, you know, these are things you can just simply test them. They're usually obviously the adjustment points, brightly colored. Anyone can walk in and kind of assess that to a certain degree. So this could be something you could build into not every day, but maybe a weekly or maybe monthly inspection by your site team, you know, just to make sure that you're not letting anything get to a critical point. Strength equipment is obviously the other side of the equation in the gym. Free weights is a whole other animal. There's a lot of things that go into that. But let's talk about one of the more common types of equipment, which is selectorized machines for strength in the gym. Emily, how would you maybe describe a selectorized machine or explain that to our listeners that maybe don't know that term?
So it's set up where you're using it where it's like cable-based and there's weight plates. And you can, you know, use a selector pin to then put how much weight you want to use. And so it's a stationary area. So there's a lot of components there that really could be a safety factor.
Yeah. And these are usually going to be like single function machines, like something like a leg curl machine or a leg extension machine. Guys, Emily just threw daggers out of her eyeballs at Steven because he's chomping on this ice cube or something.
I doubt they can hear that. I really doubt they can hear that.
No, but
it's
to the point though.
Delicious ice cube.
Delicious ice cube.
It's the most amazing water.
No, but you know, to the point about the selectorized equipment though, they're usually single function machines that target a specific muscle, like a leg extension machine or a chest press machine, and it needs to be adjusted to fit the kind of specifics of the individual using it. So Emily, maybe what's one of the most obvious safety conditions that you want to check for on any selectorized machine when you're going through the process of looking at these machines?
Okay. Well, I probably am not going to say the cable.
Yeah.
I am going to say
the cable. She's probably not going to say the right answer, guys. The cable.
The cable, because, I mean, it can crack. It can start to kind of have like a crack in the coating. And that may not seem like a big deal, but and we've said this on other podcasts, but a lot of dealers recommend, not dealers, but manufacturers recommend replacing all the cables once a year. So when you start seeing that, you're seeing that for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, of course, like small damage, cracks or frays in the plastic coating of the cable is the first stage of what typically then would lead to what, Stephen?
Cable failure?
Cable failure, which can, you know, be unpleasant at best or downright dangerous in certain machines and situations.
You know what I mean? Very common.
Definitely the kind of thing where, again, your team can go through and visually inspect the condition of the cables that connect the weight plates to the whatever part of the object you're moving to move the weight around. All those machines are different, obviously, but even just eyeballing them, sometimes I walk into gyms and I see that the cables that are so badly damaged that it's shocking. And then when you point it out to somebody from the property, they're like, oh, yeah, that is, you know, damaged, because they haven't been taught to look for that sort of thing. You know, it's just not on their radar. We're hoping that this is something that we would never, after someone listens to this episode, ever walk into their gym and see a badly damaged cable like that, because it's dangerous. Robert?
So I feel like we're giving the on-site a lot of things to do. So I want to isolate mm-hmm. just a little bit on the strength, because sometimes you get in, you have multiple pieces of strength. Mm-hmm. So if the site team has time for, again, please test all the equipment, look at the cables. It's obvious. Most of them are coated black. Mm-hmm. So if there is an issue, you will see silver threads of steel that will indicate that that needs to be replaced. But where you really have to be concerned is anything over your head.
Mm-hmm.
The lat pull down is probably the number one culprit. And then a lot of your functional trainers are issues. And those are because the different angles that people use those cables and they're not used properly. That can be a real reason for concern. We had a client who had a situation like that. This is many, many years ago. I never knew the outcome of it. But again, it established even a policy here about cables when it came to a lat pull down because of the amount of personal safety mm-hmm. that requires. So we have to double check and recheck cables that are overhead, because when a person pulls that down, there's a lot of force coming with that. And so generally the damage to the cable is visible. It's not like it's behind a weight,
right?
You know, the shrouds to the weight, it's right there a few inches from where the user would use it. So for the site team to identify a safety issue would be quick and easy.
Yeah, that's a good pointer. And maybe, you know, as you mentioned it, we are obviously going through a lot of different, you know, simple things, but it's a lot to think about. So maybe it is something that we could do in the episode notes. Maybe I'll post a couple quick little, pointer cheat sheet things. If somebody wants to copy and paste it, email it to their site team. That way you have it in writing too, you know, a quick little idea of a couple pointers. And maybe we'll include that in one of our quarterly newsletters too. Just a couple little, you know, periodic checklist ideas. I know we've done some things like that before, so we'll keep trying to build it out here. We're just here to help, guys. We want to give you all the information. That way you can have all the success that you want to have out there. So strength machines, yeah, there's a lot to look at there, obviously. Another thing would be similar, like would be the adjustment points on those machines, making sure that all of those, you know, if you're going to be adjusting the seat height or where the arms can bend or move, you know, make sure those adjustments are good and in good condition, because that's things that you don't want breaking while people are in the middle of using those machines. But, you know, really, one very last thing that we think, you know, without getting too long-winded, that we can talk about would obviously just be another thing that can be visually inspected. We talk about it periodically from time to time, would be like your accessories. You know, that's another thing you're going to be able to walk through and assess, not only if they're in the proper location where they're supposed to be in the gym, making it look nice and tidy, presentable, but also the condition of them. So we're talking about things like resistance bands, yoga mats, stability balls, medicine balls, high wear and tear items that get used and abused. So what kind of things should people look for then in that case, Emily? Because these are high use items. Like,
like for instance, you know, stability balls or even the resistance bands, you can really look at the plastic. You can see that it's seen better days.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really quick, cheap things, really relatively, that can be replaced. So don't not replace them when you start seeing that they're getting kind of
right.
dry rotted or whatever. Just replace them. It's better that way. People like to sit for instance, on stability balls with dumbbells and try and do different workouts. Mm-hmm. So if that were to pop and that person collapses with the weights in their hand, it's not a good scenario.
Yep. So if the stability balls are starting to look kind of like cracked, like dry rot, you know, not like they're in great condition, that they don't feel like there's a lot of flex or bend in them anymore, time to get rid of them. Let us know. We'll bring them out at our next PM visit. You don't even have to make a special request. We'll just bring them when we come out. Same would be said, like Emily mentioned, about your resistance bands. A lot of people use these in a perfect world, you're using sleeved resistance bands that have like a covering on them so that if they snap, it's not flying across the room. But many, many places, so don't feel bad if you do, have unsleeved resistance bands. Again, if you can look at them and start to see where the plastic is breaking down, starting to crack a little bit, it's really dangerous. You want to get out in front of that and remove that from the space. Mm-hmm. And these are things that, again, you're going to find out about them one of three ways. It's either going to break and your residents are going to tell you about it. We're going to find it when we come out, you know, three or four times a year. Or you're going to find it before you have an accident or something go wrong. Mm-hmm. Robert?
Well, a quick one on the resistance bands. When it was new, it was red. When it's pink, it needs to be replaced.
Yes, yeah.
If it's yellow and it's now white, it needs to be replaced. So the discoloring is also a good identifier that it's been stretched beyond limits, mm-hmm. and that sooner or later it's going to give way.
If people have used your medicine balls and they've been now used as slam balls and they have cracks in them,
yeah,
time to report that, because somebody may go to use it for the proper workout and now because it's cracked, it's not going to be performing the way they need it to. It's not going to have the stability or the, you know, whatever they're looking for out of that product. So it's really, you know, these are simple things. We really talk about a lot of core concepts, but we're trying to emphasize that a lot of what needs to happen really in order for the amenity to really operate at a high level can't only happen when RMS comes out to your property. Like, it obviously, we try to deliver a lot of value when we are there, and we appreciate our business and our partners that way, but there's so much that you all can do between our visits to enrich our relationship with you and to continue to like impress upon your residents the quality of the experience you want them to have. And hopefully this has just been another little helpful reminder of some of the things that you can do between our visits to you know, make sure that you're just properly caring for that amenity and getting the most out of it. So we're at 32 minutes. We tried to keep it brief. That's probably the shortest we've done here in quite some time. That's shorter than Emily. That's pretty short.
That's pretty short.
What do you have to do this weekend, Em?
Line dancing.
She already said it. I forgot. So we got some things going on. Emily's line dancing. Robert?
Football. Snow.
That's right. Snow Saturday.
In fact, I'm going to put this out there now. If you are a Steelers fan,
put it out there.
Oh, Steve.
And anything other than an absolute trouncing by the Ravens occurs, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want a funny meme. I don't want a little video of John Harbaugh crying in my inbox. I don't want none of it.
Steve has several relatives who are Steeler fans.
I do. And friends. I have a lot of PA connections. It's brutal for me when these games come up.
Yeah, generally, I don't talk about the game until after the game.
Yeah.
That's just how we roll.
It's best that way, you know. Let the game do the talking, right? Steven.
That's right. Line dancing.
I forgot you guys were going together. Okay, line dancing. That's right. Okay, anything else other than just line dancing? And we're all probably doing the same things.
And football
this weekend. Yeah, it's a big weekend. It's
and
a big
wings.
Baltimore weekend.
Wings.
Yeah, and some wings. Yeah. That's basically my plans. I'm going to a wedding tonight. Actually, it's going to be fun. Going to spend a little time there. A friend of ours is getting married, and then she's leaving, and she's going to Washington State, so we're going to go celebrate and then say goodbye. That'll be fun, and then tomorrow we're going to watch the Ravens do really great and win that game, no matter what, because I need them to, because my kid will be really upset if we don't, and that's really the plans otherwise. So as always, before we wrap up, we just want to go ahead and say our usual conclusion, and we say that if you have found this podcast to be educational, informative, and or entertaining, that you would simply recommend this to somebody in your network that you think could benefit or might enjoy hearing us talk about Steven's vacations and Emily's line dancing. Because we know your networks are good here in the multifamily world, and if you enjoy listening to us and you would share that with one of your colleagues, friends, you know, something like that, it would mean a lot to us. So please and thank you. 5-star review and nothing less. And that's really all I got. So unless there's anything else here from the team, I am Steve Heitzer from RMS Fitness signing off. Emily!
Have a great weekend, Steve.
Fearless leader.
Steve, I hope everything goes well for you, including the Ravens.
Me too, thanks. Steven!
Let's line dance into the weekend.
Line dance, adios. Signing up. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.